When I heard about the mass murders, first of all, it was Buffalo and then Uvalde in Texas. I suspected there might be a strong possibility here that animal abuse was a precursor to this because it so often is. And unfortunately, it turned out I was right. And Wayne Pacelle thought the same thing. President of Animal Wellness Action thought the same. And I suspect you too are not surprised, Wayne. And what we both came up with at the same time, I think simultaneously, is wow, too bad. Tragedy, really. More than too bad. Tragedy. Real tragedy that authorities either didn't know about it or didn't do anything about it if they did know about this animal abuse. I suspect you agree. Wayne?
Yes, Steve, sorry. I agree with you entirely. Thank you, by the way, for having me on. This is yet again a circumstance where mass violence has been preceded by malicious animal cruelty. You and I have been at this a while in thinking about animals and our responsibilities and duties to them, and we've seen this happen far too often, and we just don't know if people were alert to this. Clearly, the classmates of the Uvalde shooter talked about this. They talked about how the perpetrator, had been torturing animals, had been talking about that. And I guess the question that you raise is, are authorities alert to this circumstance?
So in both cases, yes, you're right. So Salvador Ramos, he is the shooter in Uvalde, and he would apparently go to the park and hurt animals there. And then he would post it on a variety of social media platforms. Peyton Gendron, the mass murderer in Buffalo, according to many sources, stabbed and decapitated a feral cat as recently as March and also shared in social media. So this isn't just conjecture on my part or your part. This has been seen by people. So here's my first question. Do you think it ought to be a law, and I do mean a law, where if a minor or anyone living under your roof is responsible for animal abuse, first, it must be reported, and secondly, authorities on a local level instantly elevate it to the federal level?
Yes, Steve. I mean, I think the details of this, like a lot of the gun-related policies, get a little murky. But clearly, we should be seeing this as a red flag. You and I have talked about this, that this is the reddest of red flags, that animal cruelty must be attended to. Now, of course, if someone hears about cruelty, the person should be apprehended. He or she should be arrested. It's usually a he. It's usually a young adult male who does this. But you look at Columbine, you look at Pearl, Mississippi, you look at Parkland, Florida, you look at Buffalo, you look at Uvalde, you look at 20 other mass shootings that we've heard about, and the one of the common features, maybe not the one common feature, one of the common features is animal cruelty. So I think reporting to authorities is one. And of course, I don't think that they should be able to have a weapon like a firearm if they're guilty of cruelty because they're screaming out that they have no empathy, they have no judgment, that they are in some sort of mental state that is not going to result in good outcomes for the rest of the community.
And what I'm calling for, and what I'll be talking about next week on this show with Alderman Matt O'Shea, about something else, but similar. If a child does something in your house, because the carjackings in major cities, including Chicago, are often done, for example, by teenagers. They're not even old enough to drive in some cases. Why can't the parents be held responsible? So I'm suggesting the same thing here. If there's animal abuse, not only for the benefit of animals, but something we haven't talked about and we'll describe in a second, but we've bounced around it, and that's the benefit of human beings to prevent potentially another problem that is much more severe, like what happened in Buffalo and Uvalde, why can't and why shouldn't the parents be responsible?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think parents clearly, I mean, they're the ones who are raising the child, who know him best. They should be responsible. But I also think, Steve, it would be very, very good to have policies to have other forms of reporting, right? So schools should be alerting students. If you hear one of your classmates who's engaging in, you know, really aberrational animal cruelty, right? Not going hunting or not doing things that are still by a lot of people accepted in society. But if they're engaging in malicious cruelty, if they're beheading a cat, if they're beating a dog with a baseball bat, if they're setting fire to an animal, and those are the things that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
If you hear about that, you've got to report it to your teacher, to administrators at the school. There should be veterinarian reporting. If a vet comes across an animal and that, you know, animal is clearly tormented and the vet has information, I mean, obviously it's not the vet's job to investigate this, but the vet should also be reporting. So schools, veterinarians, parents should absolutely be part of our civil society response to these acts of cruelty, because if we can ferret this out, maybe we can prevent the next school shooter or supermarket shooter or, you know, movie theater shooter. I mean, it's just happening with numbing frequency. I mean, since Uvalde, we had Tulsa, and now, you know, I haven't seen the details, but there was a shooting today in Philadelphia. You know, it's a copycat crime, and I think some of these people want attention, and they, you know, they're amiss mentally, and then they say, okay, well, I don't care. We're just gonna shoot up classmates. We're gonna shoot up people at the store, shoot up people at the movie theater. I mean, it's just a very serious threat in our society.
Indeed, it is, and we've not talked about this directly. So the term is called the link. I happen to be on the board of the American Humane Association with Phil Arkow and others. Described what this is. And since then, study after study after study has demonstrated that there is a link, a definitive, absolute link between animal abuse and either domestic violence or shooting, including mass murders, and other types of violence toward human beings. And I know you know the same.
Well, yes, the link is well established. It's not, as you said earlier, conjecture. There's academic work that has gone on for a long time that has established that there is a pathology for individuals who kind of stray from the norms in society and torment or torture animals. It apparently gives them some confidence to continue to mete out violence, and you just see a succession, right? They start with animals, whether it's cats or dogs or birds in the household, or, you know, it could be wild animals that they come across. And then, you know, it doesn't always, but there is an alarming frequency where that graduates to harm to people. Now, obviously, the most extreme expression of this is a school shooting or a supermarket shooting, as we've seen. Not every case of malicious cruelty turns into this, but it's enough of a red flag that we should be taking it seriously. And if we slap that person, that young man on the wrist or older boy on the wrist and say, oh, you know, that's okay, boys will be boys, then we're just courting trouble later in society. We've got to have an intervention. And it just doesn't have to be penal exclusively. It could be psychological counseling, which a lot of state anti-cruelty statutes have counseling provisions. I mean, these people aren't going away, right? They're not going to be locked up for the rest of their lives. So maybe some attention can get them on the right track. But obviously, we do have a penal system, and people who stray from the bounds of our social norms should not be free because they can be a menace to the rest of us.
Animal Wellness Action and you have been working on a Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act. Anyway, the timing, you know, gee whiz, who knew? Because you had this in the works anyhow. I want to talk about what this is when we come back right here on WGN. We're talking to Wayne Pacell. He is the president of Animal Wellness Action. And Wayne, you had a bill already in the works to deal with animal cruelty, didn't you?
Yes, Steve, at the federal level. So in Congress, we had worked at Animal Wellness Action with some of our allies in Congress on a bipartisan bill, so Democrats and Republicans coming together to recognize that malicious animal cruelty should not be tolerated. The federal laws should be enforced. And Steve, you know, and you've been involved with so much of this because of your great advocacy for animals for so long, but there's a national anti-cruelty law that was passed in 2019. We have a federal animal fighting law to crack down on dog fighting and cockfighting. We have other federal statutes to combat malicious animal cruelty, but passing the law is not sufficient. There's got to be enforcement of that law. So we've got a bill called the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act. It's H.R. 1016, and it would create a federal animal cruelty crimes section at the U.S. Department of Justice. So you'd have dedicated prosecutors and other personnel who would look into animal cruelty cases, be strategic about attacking it. And obviously one element of this could be to really gather information, share information with the national law enforcement community, have cooperation with the state and local law enforcement authorities and the feds, so we could sniff out these people, and it's usually young men, you know, late teens, early 20s, who do malicious things to animals and then turn their violence onto people. What could be more important than this in terms of making our community safe? It's wrong to do it to the animals, and it's doubly problematic when they turn the violence toward people.
As always, very articulate. And how can you not? I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter. This bill makes total sense. Of course it does. A couple of texts coming in here I want to read to you. First of all, several saying, essentially, yes, Steve, we need to hold the parents responsible for what their children do when they take actions as drastic as what you describe. Another excellent discussion. I work with students who have emotional disabilities who sometimes have a history of abuse of animals and have gone on to injure other children. Proactive steps like you are discussing may prevent other tragedies. And I believe, Wayne, that is just the point.
We've got to have a matrix of solutions, right? It's got to be personal responsibility, parental, school administrators, teachers, veterinarians. But we also need some dedicated focus and expertise at the local, state, and federal level in terms of our law enforcement. I mean, these warning signs, I mean, where do you go when you have a problem and someone beheads a cat, you know, who's a 17-year-old and is saying menacing things and threatening things? I mean, we'd be foolish not to address that, either with counseling or with incarceration or, you know, after due process, whatever it is. So I think the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act, I hope your listeners will contact your two U.S. senators. You've got two very, again, this is not a partisan issue. This is just looking at the records. Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Tammy Duckworth are both very strong animal welfare advocates. They're carrying legislation. Durbin has an anti-puppy mill bill he's leading. Duckworth has a number of wildlife protection bills she's leading. You've got Mike Quigley, Raja Krishnamoorthy, Jan Schakowsky. These are leaders on animal welfare in the Chicagoland area and, of course, then at the national level. We need them and others to get on board and get this passed. You know, we're talking a lot about guns, and I get it, but let's also talk about this animal cruelty issue as the reddest of red flags.
Well, and the gun issue, no matter where you come down on this, that's not going to be solved, quote unquote, tomorrow. This could be done quickly, and while it won't stop every mass shooter, percentage-wise, most of them do practice, rehearse, whatever term you want to use, on animals first. That's just a fact. Beside, animal cruelty in of itself is against the law. So this makes obvious, absolute, perfect sense. I'm not going to let this issue go. I'm going to continue talking about it because it also needs to be talked about. I think that greatly, but not everyone in law enforcement is aware of the term you used and I used called the link. I'm not sure that the average person, if you know about it, may not think about it. I mean, the first thing that I thought about when I heard about these tragic shootings was, okay, I wonder if each shooter first was responsible for animal abuse. It would not explain, but maybe be indicative of what was going to happen next. And I suspect you think the same way, Wayne.
Well, I do, and it's not just you and me as longtime animal welfare advocates, Steve. It's the Department of Homeland Security. It's the FBI. It's the National Sheriff's Association. I mean, all of these agencies have recognized that animal cruelty is a possible warning behavior for school shootings, but also for terrorism. This is not something to trifle with. We are getting indicators, as you said, of socially pathological behavior, and the first strike is against animals, often.
Well, to learn more about this, you can go to my own website, that's stevedale.tv, or you can go to Animal Wellness Action. The website, Wayne, is
animalwellnessaction.org. Please sign up so you can get involved in this important legislative campaign with the Animal Cruelty Enforcement Act. I hope people will contact their U.S. senators, their U.S. representatives, and urge them to get on board as a constructive response to this serial set of tragedies we've seen.
Indeed, it is that, and it is absolutely nonpartisan. I mean, doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, this is something we can do and hopefully move on it quickly. And I know you have many organizations, some in law enforcement, others in animal welfare, that have said, yes, you're absolutely right, and they've signed on to this, Wayne.
They have. We've got dozens of endorsements, local police, state police federations, sheriff's associations, domestic violence groups, obviously animal welfare groups that see this cruelty and, you know, are just appalled by the cruelty, but also recognize that it's correlated with other violence. Someone who does something god-awful to an animal is not going to stop there. We'd be foolish to think that that's where it ends.
Indeed. Wayne Pacell, Animal Action Wellness, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And I know on the air, off the air, we'll be talking about this further.
Steve, thanks for everything.